how do you approach an Arabic woman, for example? How do you greet? Do you shake hands? Do you just say hello?
They have a very strong shake hand, as well as in Argentina. But I didn't find that the same in England.
In Belgium, you always kiss people once on the cheek. If you're in France, you can kiss up to four times.
Planning on working in another country? Then this is the series for you. Working abroad with me, Susan Fern, and our regular cultural expert, Richard Cook.
Hello.
Today, all those things you say and do without words. Yes, we're looking at the hidden world of non-verbal communication. But Richard, what exactly do we mean by non-verbal communication?
Well, it includes quite a lot of things. The first thing is what we call proximity. In other words, how close people would stand next to each other or in front of each other when they're talking. Secondly, we're looking at eye contact. How much eye contact is normal, how much we would break it. And thirdly, touching. Is any touching allowed in this particular culture, or some touching of the arm? Is there a difference between the genders as well? So those are some of the things.
So closeness, eye contact and physical contact,
yeah,
are the three main dimensions. Non-verbal communication affects most things that you do when you're abroad. And in Europe, there's one part of non-verbal communication that causes more concern and more confusion than anything else. And what is it? Well, it starts and ends with a kiss.
Well, I mean, with the French kisses, it's like, even within France, some people do like kiss on one cheek only, some on two cheeks or on three cheeks. So if you don't know, you might like start on the wrong side or whatever, and then you end up like in very strange situations, or you try to do three kisses and the other person has already turned away or whatever. So that might cause some embarrassing situations really sometimes.
In Latin America, you give a kiss to women, and yeah, usually here you may shake hands. And I gave a kiss to a friend's wife. That would be pretty normal in Argentina, but not in London. She felt a little bit shy, but that was it.
I've just learned that you have to grab people and be really dynamic. Just grab them and say how many kisses you're going to do before you do it, and go for it. And then pull away before you get into that embarrassing situation where you can't get out.
Richard, that kissing as a kind of greeting, that's a clear case of social behaviour. And it's obviously difficult on many levels if you're not used to kissing people. So help us out here.
Well, kissing is just one of many different aspects of interaction that you need to be aware of. You can get into difficult or embarrassing or even worse situations if you're not aware. Eye contact, tone of voice, how close you can stand, any touching, how many times you kiss. A long handshake, a short handshake, it can go on and on and on. So I think, yes, you do need to get these correct, and you need to have good observation skills.
Should you be trying to replicate these behaviours, even though you're not used to them, or might you just come across as awkward or a little strange?
I think you've got two things to think about. I personally don't fully endorse the concept of when in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Why not?
I don't think people expect you to completely adopt all of the things that they do. What I think people would like is that you acknowledge it, you understand it, and you do your best. One of the things you can do is actually explain to the other culture. You say, well, you know, actually, we don't normally kiss in my culture, so it's a bit awkward, but, you know, but then do your best. So it's a learning process, and it also tests you as an individual, as the person coming into the culture, on your level of ability to deal with new things, new behaviours. So that's the test for you. Are you one of those people who can adopt new behaviours, things out?
It's testing your own flexibility.
Absolutely.
As much as anything else.
Yeah.
What about in companies? I mean, if you're going to do business in Japan, for example, should you be learning to bow at the right level and get that exactly right? Will it help you to win business?
Two things are important here. First of all, if you're in a sales position, if you're actually selling or promoting or presenting your company, then it's absolutely crucial that you do your homework, that you know how you're going to be experienced and you know what the norms and the rules are on the other side. Having said that, you need to find out what the local culture will expect of you as an outsider. In the case of Japan, it's not normal to expect people to bow. That is not... Japanese have been many, many decades of shaking hands. They're not comfortable with it, but they will do it. So that's their acknowledgement of the difference. You don't need to learn to bow.
So they have the intercultural understanding there. They're likely to have that and wouldn't expect you to behave in the same way.
They've already made huge, huge steps forward in this area on your behalf in order to make you feel comfortable. But you can acknowledge that, give the handshake in a Japanese way, and carry on as you would.
So what you're saying there is that in business it's often a two-way process with both sides trying to make some kind of adjustments. But you mentioned a Japanese handshake there. What exactly is a Japanese handshake?
Well, from a UK perspective, we would experience a Japanese handshake as being rather lighter, rather looser than our own preferred handshake. But just to give you an idea, every culture that shakes hands will have a slightly different way of doing it, depending on other cultural aspects.
You're listening to Working Abroad from the BBC World Service, the series for people who want to work abroad. Today we're looking at non-verbal communication. One of the biggest problems with non-verbal communication is that many of the non-verbal rules of society are hidden from view, and this means you end up doing things wrong simply because you don't know the right way to act. To avoid making mistakes in public, chartered psychologist Petruska Clarkson says that it's better to ask someone who's moved to that culture rather than someone who grew up there.
People who are in the culture cannot explain to you what the rules are, because they've grown up in that country. It's never been said. They are not following rules. They are just being the way these elephants behave in this pack. So when you ask those elephants, what are the rules? They can't explain to you, because it's all obvious to them, and they've never thought it, and they've probably never spoken it. So it's not something they can teach. The people who can teach you best are other people who've made a cultural transition successfully. So I would not go and ask a Frenchman to explain French culture to me if I was in that position. I would find somebody else who's adapted in French culture and ask them to explain, if they didn't grow up in France, because they will have been sensitized to the unspoken rules.
Of course, most of the time, if you get the rules wrong, the worst thing that can happen is that you get embarrassed or you can offend another person. But sometimes it can be much more serious. In extreme cases, it can even lead to a person being arrested or treated as if they have a mental health problem. Professor Clarkson again.
It can get very, very serious. Like, what is normal in your culture can in another culture be perceived and has been perceived as psychiatric illness. So we actually get in the mental health system numerous examples of people who have been misunderstood because what certain behaviours such as anxiety or certain ways of expressing rage or sadness would be normal in that culture, but in this culture it can land you in a psychiatric ward. That's an extreme, but it is not unheard of. It does happen.
So, Richard, what experiences are you aware of where things have gone wrong, perhaps very wrong, because of misunderstandings?
One example, or an ongoing example, is in the UK healthcare environment, where increasingly, because of multiculturalism and so on, you have non-British people going into hospitals and dealing with receptionists. And what's been occurring is that receptionists have been feeling rather threatened as overseas patients have become agitated and they've experienced them as becoming angry and aggressive and having loud voices.
And that might be just because they come from a culture where showing emotion is more the norm.
You've got a number of things going on there. First of all, it's okay to show emotions, which in the UK is less so. Secondly, you've got a louder voice tone, something we mentioned earlier. And then thirdly, you've got the problem of proximity. In the particular examples I'm thinking of, the cultures concerned were cultures that prefer to stand closer to people they're talking to. Now, with a large reception desk in the way, what was happening was the patients were beginning to lean over the desk, thereby the UK receptionist feeling threatened, leading to a very difficult situation.
You mentioned proximity there, and this whole idea of closeness, nearness, how close you can stand to somebody when they're having a conversation, that's a very interesting one, isn't it?
Well, it's an interesting and serious one, because if you're having a conversation with somebody, you need to feel comfortable if you're going to be talking to them and getting information or sharing. An example, according to the experts, that in Asia, the usual distance between two people is 3.5-4 feet. Now, that's quite a big gap.
That's quite far apart.
That's quite far apart. Yeah, I suppose if you think about bowing, there's a space there for bowing into. But then if you take a culture like Spanish or Latin, the typical distance between two people there is between 12 and 18 inches.
So that's much, much closer. I mean, I saw a very interesting conversation once between a Colombian boy and a Japanese girl, and the Japanese girl was moving away because she was presumably trying to find her own comfort space?
That's right. She was trying to get comfortable so she could have the conversation, as was the Colombian, who wanted to move closer in order for him to be comfortable. The result is a very strange sort of dance of one person moving backwards and the other person continuing to move forward.
And presumably one person feeling rejected and the other person feeling threatened.
Yeah, exactly. The Colombian will feel rejected and the Japanese person will feel threatened. And there's not much you can do about that until you have some understanding of what's going on.
So it's again a question of awareness.
Yeah.
As we've been hearing, not knowing the secret rules of a society can create problems. And it's something that our Argentinian businessman Federico is well aware of. When Federico decided to move from England to Germany, the first thing he did was try to find out about German culture. And he was very surprised about how much he could discover simply by talking to the right people.
It's really important to make research before you move to a different country. You have to talk to people who are living here. Even more helpful if you can talk to people who actually are from your own country and live abroad. And if they do not speak the language, even better. Or if they study by not speaking the language, it's even better. Because they went already through your situation. I talk to people in the company, especially the Argentinians, the expats, people who are from abroad and who went through the same problems you would in the end face. It's amazing, all the knowledge that you can just recover by talking to them.
So finally then, Richard, what advice have you got overall today?
I think the main thing is that you need to focus on understanding the other culture's rules, their norms, their ways of doing things. Not necessarily conceding to them, but certainly understanding and working with them.
And thanks, Richard, for those tips about understanding the rules. And that's pretty much it for now. But as I wave goodbye, as opposed to kissing you goodbye, here's our film producer, Andre, with a warning about trying too hard to take on another country's culture.
I tried to adapt myself to the British way of living, let's say. And I started to behave a little bit different than my natural way of being. And this didn't help at all. After a while, when I started being a little bit more self-confident and just relaxing and being able to be the person I am, I start making really good friends. And even professionally, I start having more success.